Good morning, CWOW. My name is Abby, and I'm a member here at Church Without Walls. And Gary invited me this week to do to be a part of our little "Say One Thing" thing, where we have somebody who is just a member of the church say one thing about the relevant topic, the passage, the what we're working on. This week, talking about community and corporate spiritual practice, that's something that I really need. And I've talked about it up here before in various respects. I don't have a great capacity for self-motivation and starting new habits. So all of these like journaling or like praying early in the morning, a lot of people can be really good at that. And I bless and commend you. And that is not my gifting. So if, especially if it feels like, it's just for my benefit. I don't know why, it doesn't motivate me. But when there's other people around and I'm going somewhere with somebody, having an obligation to a person, that gets me to do things. That's really great, and that works for me, and that can work for a lot of you guys too. But as like going deeper in that for this time of spiritual practices, one of the things that I decided to do was make a concerted effort to say yes to every single chance I had to do some form of corporate prayer or worship these months. And that sometimes is kind of illogical. There's a lot of other things going on in my life, and there's probably a lot of other things going on in yours. But I have three stories from the past couple of weeks that just kind of have shown me the way that even in the face of a lot of busyness, a lot of the world in my life, saying yes to spiritual opportunities with other people, with this community and with other communities, has been an amazing blessing and brought me closer to God. So the first one that I said yes to, even though it didn't seem like the world was telling me it was the right thing to do, was the first Friday prayer for this November. I helped lead the first one, and I had a lot more time to prep for that, and I'm on the prayer team. Like, it kind of, that one made sense. This one, my parents had just left town, and I hadn't had any time to myself in a week or so. I didn't have very much prep time that week. I wouldn't have gotten the chance to meet with the other leaders. It was right after Halloween. I had hosted a Halloween party. Like, there were a lot of reasons to say no to helping lead the first Friday prayer on November 1st. But I did it. And it was good just because it was prayer. That's one thing that's great. You have additional opportunities for prayer. I think that's something that always brings you closer to God. And I got to continue work on our collective prayer sculpture, which is that here today or no?
No, because it did fit on my bike.
Yep. That's a really good excuse. But I'm sure if you've been here previous weeks, you've seen that. And we got to sort of continue the metaphor with it having broken and then get put back together and have that continue to be visible. And another really intense thing about it, one of my parents' really good friends died that day on All Saints Day when we had a prayer meeting. And so having the opportunity that day to pray sort of her spirit into the saints' communion was really, really powerful. And it wasn't something I even did like out loud there at that prayer meeting, but it meant a lot to me and to that, even that small process. Another thing that I said yes to this past week was a prayer meeting with a couple of people from my work, which is it's kind of unexpected. I mean, I do tell people I'm a Christian at work, and that seems like a really small thing, but sometimes those really small things can lead to greater opportunities to say yes, and God just handed this one to me, from an unexpected place. I know that some of the leaders in the development company that I work with are Christian, And so, but I've, like, they've never invited me to anything like this before. I have the opportunity to pray over a site with a couple of my bosses that I've been working on a lot. So it was, like, great to mix spiritual practice and work, to see that coming into different points of my life. But even more than that, that was something where they were, like, recognizing my little tiny spiritual steps, that God kind of has handed that back to me in my commitment to say yes here. The reasons to say no were that it was super early in the morning and I had been having insomnia. There was a sick person in my house, so I even additionally needed more sleep. I am not sick, though. I didn't get sick. So God bless me in that small way, too. There's a lot of little things that come from it. It was also just like a new and less familiar group to pray with, and that can be a scary thing. But I got to see the fruits of being simply and vocally Christian at work. I got to bring spiritual practice into more of my life, and having that particular prayerful morning pushed me to saying yes to speaking today, which, that was a decision I made on Wednesday. So I apologize for any unpolishedness, but I also think that's kind of part of it. That's like part of the whole spontaneously saying yes, even when things don't make sense in other parts of your brain. So that's my third one, saying yes to talking today. Like, I had this busy week, I'm attempting to buy a car, and having some success, which is my first really large purchase as a financially independent adult, and I've been having a lot of stress to do with that. Like, there's, like, unexpected things coming at me. I don't know how to buy a car, and I'm buying a used car, and I'm doing it with a dealer, and are they going to manipulate me? There's a lot of feelings about that. I had another church meeting this week, so I'm doing a lot of church things. I did the thing on Wednesday. And I'm feeling underprepared, but it's good because I get to be here and share what it's like to say yes to these things, and the fact that everything that I have said yes to that has made me busier, has gotten me a little bit less sleep in this last week, it has inconvenienced me in legitimate ways, but that has been overwhelmed by the fact that even in just thinking and planning about these things, I'm praying more, I'm talking to God more, and I'm feeling him directly in my life and affecting me because of that, that those really, like, simple choices to do something that seems uncomfortable is really, really positive. I want to just encourage you guys to try and say yes to an additional thing that you might not have. And you already said yes to coming to church today. That's a corporate spiritual practice that you guys are doing right now. So you can lean into worship. You can buy an additional baked good. But you have already gotten a few invitations to say yes to more things this morning from Sharon. To say yes, potentially, to the Advent prayer retreat, where we get to dive into prayer together. There's another First Friday prayer on sometime the first week of December, the first Friday of December. There's a lot of things that you guys can do, and I just really encourage you to pray for openings, because it was praying for an opening that got me. Got me to go to the Wednesday prayer meeting with my work people, and that led to this. So it leads to some really simple good things, and I hope that you guys can find that too.
Thanks so much, Abby. I've known, even though I took a long time to ask Abby, I've known for a long time that I would want to ask Abby to do the Say One Thing at this point. Our series on From Survival to Revival is almost done. We've been looking at how God is sort of in the business of constantly reviving us and bringing us back to life as life does stress us out, as things get hard, and yet God's Spirit is there to tell us that, you know, for all of us, our best days, spiritually speaking, are yet ahead of us. And I think God's been trying to pour God's hope into our community through this whole conversation. And we've been, it's been a bit surprising to see that revival often takes place in small, subtle ways. And through choosing into small, kind of really granular spiritual practices. It's not necessarily a big, flashy, exciting, particular moment. And that's why recently we've been wanting to have people like Dee share last week about her practice of praying the armor, all these kind of things. But what's really interesting is that when we have the conversation about spiritual practices, which slowly and over time lead to revival in our lives in a very sustainable, powerful way, most people really thought of spiritual practices as sort of individual, private ones. It was just kind of our default. And to be honest, that's my default too, because temperamentally, I am two things. I am fundamentally private and fundamentally introverted. I really do not understand people's desire to, like, show the world everything they did on social media. I just don't get it. Like, here's what I ate. See, everybody? Like, I'm so private. Like, I don't want you to know what I ate. That's none of your business, you know? Or even, like, one of the things that I'm sort of called to do in my life is to write and to tell everybody what I think. And I've noticed that really good writers have something in them that just need to tell the world what they think. And I love to learn, but like, I don't have that drive to tell the world what I think. You know, I'm just sort of a private person. And I do tend to be introverted, and I do find great strength in like solitude and in my kind of Sabbath and all of these things. And so I knew that on the week that we were going to talk, like we are today, about how revival is fundamentally communal. It's fundamentally something you can only do together. I knew we needed Abby to speak to us because she is fundamentally communal. And even when she shared in the middle of this series, you know, what she talked about is like, hey, my spiritual practice is with other people. And so I thought it would be a good compliment because I'm betting that all of you fall somewhere in the middle of the Gary-Abby continuum. Temperamentally, in terms of whether you're an introvert, extrovert, whether you're private or public, you know, whatever it is. But I think the reality here is that no matter what your temperament is, even if you're more introverted and private, that we simply cannot experience the fullness of God's revival in our lives by ourselves. We are fundamentally created and made to experience this God sort of life-giving connection. It has to happen with other people. We're just sort of made that way. And so that's why I chose the particular passage that I just want to look at really quickly with you, this passage from Ephesians 4. And as you can see there, the very first word, so there, this is Paul talking after he's written, we've been looking at, you know, little letters that the Apostle Paul has written throughout this whole series. And this is yet another moment when Paul talks about all the great things that God has done for us in Jesus through the gospel. And then he tells you, so what? So here's how to live this out. Here's how to actually practically experience revival through it. And so what Paul says is, well, all right, God has done these great things. God has poured his love into your life. He's died. He's been raised again. He's pour the Holy Spirit into your life. So what should you do? You got to bear with one another in love. You got to put up with each other. It's very interesting. I think we would all testify that being in community is like, it's really important because it's where you have friends, it's where you have fellowship. We're never more alive than when we're connected to people. And that's how we're connected to God, right? Isn't that true? Can I get an amen? Is that true? It's also true that community is really irritating. Can I get an amen? It is, right? That's why you're supposed to bear with one another in love. Like, it's true that as we, like, in some ways, the only way to not experience the irritations of community is to not really connect with people. The reality is when we get close to people, it rubs a little bit, right? And I would say that even that rubbing against each other is part of how God connects us to God's own self. So if you are out there looking for the church community which does not irritating you, which does not irritate you, A, you will never find it, and B, you're missing out on part of what God is using to connect us. So we're supposed to bear with one another in love. Interesting, that's the very first thing that Paul says. And we're supposed to make every effort to guard the unity that the Spirit gives. It's not easy. It's hard. Like, to be unified, especially in this era, is difficult. So we have to guard it. We have to protect it. I think there's a lot of reasons why it's hard to be unified in this era. First of all, we have the influence of our own Protestant tradition. Protestants have this great tradition. It's not a great tradition. It's actually a really bad tradition of whenever they disagree about something, they split. Right? The history of Protestantism, the history of lots of church splits. It's like people who are supposed to be family saying, I don't want to be family with you anymore because of X thing I disagree with you about. And so they go start their own church over here. I'm a church historian. What's interesting about these church splits is that years later, when you look at what they split about, you're like, really? Like, you fought about that? Sometimes you literally can't even remember. Like, I grew up in a Dutch denomination that it was called the Christian Reformed Church, and we split off from the Reformed Church of America 100 years ago. Do you know why? I don't either. I literally don't know. I looked it up, but then I've literally forgotten. It's so insignificant. But there's, you know, so we do. There's always this danger that we'll split apart from each other, right? Not only that, but we also live in a consumeristic era which commodifies everything. It actually turns our community into a commodity that we shop for and kind of check out what we like. I mean, you all have heard of church shopping, right? Some of you might be church shopping right now, which is fine if you're discerning what community to be part of. We all have to do that. But what the sort of mentality, the way that capitalism has oozed even into such things as our choice of community, which should be like a family, has been that we sort of can discard it. It's sort of like a single-use plastic or perceived or planned obsolescence. When we're tired of it, we just drop it. We want something new and fresh. We're just used to that, and so we can tend to do that with community and just discard it at the first sign of irritation. And finally, there's not only sort of the Protestant vociferousness, where we split. There's not only the sort of commodified consumerism which infects our community, but there's also just plain old secularism, in which that it's a rare thing to be a Christian in our context. And so there's always a strong pressure to sort of say, like, just get rid of that old thing. Or some relatively small thing that challenges our faith can make it very easy to just kind of blend over into our secular society and fade away from community. So we do need to guard the unity of the church. We do need to say, we need to value it, and we need to kind of really stand there in that. Because it's a beautiful picture of the unity which God offers us, this one faith, one Lord, one baptism, which is the core of our unity. Our unity is not about finding friends which like whatever sort of entertainment options we prefer most. That's not the core of our unity. This is the core of our unity, our Lord, our faith, our baptism, which allows us to be actually intimate and deeply connected with people with whom we might not really share hardly anything else. Language, culture, ethnicity, preferences, temperaments, workplace, professional, not all these different things can be totally different as long as we know what the core of our unity is. So it's actually true that we can experience revival with people that we are very, very different from, and in some cases might not even like. But even some of the people that you literally don't like are the people that you maybe perhaps need most, according to this passage. And so we see here also that there's a place for all of us in the unity of revival. As we have, you know, whether you're a pastor, a teacher, or a cookie baker, or a prayer, or whatever we do, there's a place for all of us in every age in this sort of community. It's essential, and you're all really important to this community. So, you know, just like Abby, thank you for saying yes to be here today. It really is deeply meaningful, and I feel like we so easily forget that. The choice to, like, come to church, to say yes to a meeting, it's so easy to just become a personal community, you know, a personal lifestyle choice, to let convenience make the choice for us. But what Paul is really doing here is he's really raising the stakes for that little small choice to, like, am I going to be together with this person? Am I going to choose a spiritual practice with somebody else in my community? If your answer is yes, Paul would say, like, that's a great cause of rejoicing. You are fighting for this unity, and you are actually providing the opportunity for somebody else, as well as yourself, to experience this very sustainable revival. But the reason I chose this passage was actually in the final, this sort of final verse here. And I want to show you another translation as well, so you can see it together. Paul has a habit of, like, he's actually not that good at Greek. He writes these long, convoluted sentences, which throws lots of words together. So I really especially just want to offer you this one last picture, this one last metaphor of the many metaphors we've been looking at, this metaphor of stature and maturity. Because at the end of the day, these words are very, very important for us to understand and experience revival. That the end goal of all this stuff is for us to have to experience a sort of spiritual maturity, a sort of spiritual stature, which actually, in some ways, actually mirrors the fullness of Christ himself. That there's a way we're drawn up into, like, how awesome Jesus is and how spiritual he is and how loving he is and how powerful he is. Like, in community, we're actually drawn up into that. And you almost want to stand tall. Like, there's a spiritual stature that we experience together over time. So in some ways, like, what God is calling us to do as a community, as CWOW, as we experience revival, is really to grow old together. It says maturity, right? Let's grow old together. And there's a way in which that's a beautiful image. Like, you know, wouldn't it be nice to be so known that you live your life longitudinally with someone, you grow old together, and you're sitting out on the front porch when you're, like, you know, you're remembering all the good old days in 2019. It's kind of cool, but also, like, you know, we've talked throughout this series about physical decrepitude creeping up on all of us. So actually, I think there's a better metaphor than, like, growing old together with our sort of frail human bodies. And so the metaphor for both stature and maturity, that I think I'm improving on Paul a little bit here. I do, with the metaphor I'm about to share with you. I do. It's very much in the spirit of this passage, right? What is a better metaphor for growing old together in which we experience stature and deep spiritual maturity? Well, of course, it is the redwood tree. And I think this is actually a beautiful metaphor for what revival can look like in our community in a communal way. Because so recently, like, my spiritual practice that I've been working on has been to prepare for Sabbath. And every Tuesday, I have a day that's totally alone with God. And I often stress out about what I should do, like, where should I go, all that stuff. And it kind of cuts into my peacefulness. And so I've just basically decided I'm going to go to Redwood Regional Park every week. Please don't go to Redwood Regional Park on Tuesday afternoon because I want to be alone. And to be really honest, too, I try on my Sabbath, I try to, like, not think about being a pastor. It's just kind of me and God. That's what I need. It really is very, very helpful. But then what's ironic is I tend to, like, hear great stuff from God that I want to share in community on Sunday morning. So yet another redwood story. Sorry, not sorry. I'm really not. Because it's great. Because redwood trees, they're so amazing. Again, those of you who have just moved back to California, or, you know, if you have been around redwood trees for a long time, you can forget how amazing they are. Honestly, like, when I moved back here from Colorado, I was looking forward to community, but I was also really looking forward to redwood trees. I just love being in that space where they grow and they're connected. And the more you learn about them, the deeper it gets. Because redwood trees, you know, they can be, like, 200 feet tall, but their roots never go any deeper than, like, 6 to 12 feet. It's amazing. Like, most trees have a taproot that are as deep as they are tall. Right, so you see a palm tree, it goes as deep as it is tall. But, you know, 200 feet and then 6 feet. How in the world do they do it? You think about the amount of lumber By the way, I tried to use my pictures, even though they're not as good, but they're pictures that I took with love, so it's okay. Love that. So some of these trees are like, unfortunately, they're second growth trees in Oakland, the Oakland Hills, but they're still probably 100 years old. And so they might be like 170 feet tall, and they're 6 feet deep. How do they do it? Well, the answer is they're actually, the roots go out and they interlock with the roots of other trees. That's how they do it. If you have a tree, it's true, if you have a tree, a redwood tree all by itself, that redwood tree is actually very fragile and very much in danger. Because, you know, with the winds coming through, you know, we've had more of them recently. Like, if you're a big, massive redwood tree and you feel the pressure of that wind, and you don't have the other trees where you've interlocked roots, you're going to fall over. And so that's why you see these forests, and you don't know it, but underneath the surface is all this really deep interlocking. And one of my friends told me, and I checked it out on the internet and couldn't find, I don't know if this is true. This is Josh Harper, by the way. He's kind of a tree hugger, so he might be exaggerating. But apparently, they even through their roots, as they interlock, they can even like share nutrients. And if one part of the forest is like more dry or less, you know, nutrient-rich, they can even like share that connection with each other. I don't know if that's true, but it makes for a good sermon illustration. In any case, they are definitely like interlocked and connected, and that is the way that they are strong. And what is more mature, what has a greater stature than a redwood tree? And yet none of it is possible without those interlocking roots. None of it is possible without community. So that's what I just want to remind us about, that as we end this series, we come to this the end of this series on moving from survival by ourselves to revival together. As we think about what is this going to look like in Advent, in 2020, in the months and weeks ahead, what it really does is it highlights those simple decisions to say yes to community, even when it doesn't necessarily make sense. But that's why I love so much about Abby's talk, because she actually values community to the point where she might have to value it more than sleep. And so she has a pre-standing yes, which actually creates a lot of grace and space in her life to interlock those roots and to experience God. And so that's my, I think, call and reminder to all of us. And of course, every time you give a talk like this, the people that need to hear this most are not here. The people who are here, it's kind of like, good job, here we are, practicing spirit. You know, all our roots are interlocked this morning. Way to go. But I think it really, it's a way of just validating and encouraging the fact that we are showing up for each other. And it's also a call to, like, to our broader community, some of whom are always here and some of whom aren't. And of course, you know, there are lots of good reasons to not be in church on Sunday. We, you know, we get all that. But with each other, let's value our relationships with each other. Let's remind each other, like, you mean so much to me. Like, I need you. And let's, as we practice our Christian, as we practice community together, let's actually practice spiritually together. It's great to have Christian friendships where we hang out and go to movies and eat together and do things. That's all good. I love that stuff. But there's something that only followers of Jesus can do together, and that's these spiritual practices. So as you interlock roots, are you going deep spiritually with others in our church? And are you saying yes? As you do that, I just want to remind you that as you do that, you strengthen not just yourself, but all the other little redwood trees around here too that we're sort of connecting with. And it winds up creating a very, very beautiful forest, which really embodies the gospel and shows the world what the stature and maturity of Christ is like. It's even the case, I think this is also true, that if you see a really big redwood tree, like you notice that they grow really close, and as they get old, they actually like grow together and fuse to become kind of one big massive tree, right? So that's where I really think that not just individuals can grow spiritually and that your best years are ahead of you spiritually as an individual, but I also believe that even churches and communities, that our best years can be ahead of us in the future as well, as a community. that as we draw from these different traditions, that as we live out these different practices together, that there'll be a way that in 2030 or even 2020, that we will be embodying the gospel and showing the world the love of Jesus in a way that's more mature, that's more compelling, that's more, dare I say, statuesque, you know, than we ever have before. So I want to close this time with just some more invitations to say yes. Of course, one of them is always our prayer ministry time. We engage this service in all kinds of different ways. We have different prayer stations. We have different worship stations. You do our giving stations. But one of them is also our prayer ministry, in which we would love to pray for you individually. As there's something going on in your life, we want to sort of be we want to reach out with our roots and connect to you and wherever you're at. And as we were praying for this service, a couple of things that are special invitations. First of all, if you've had a hard time connecting with that yes, saying yes means peace and growth, if that doesn't jive with your feelings, it'd be there's actually opportunity in that dissonance. If you're like, yeah, saying yes seems stressful and like no boundaries, what's wrong with you people? If you feel like that, pressing into that dissonance is a good first step, and you can do that in prayer. If you're feeling blocked to community in general in your life, if you're going through a season of loneliness, I know that these words can sound hollow or hard to hear even. If that's the case, again, there's opportunity in that dissonance, and one step of saying yes could be to just pray through that together. And with the same kind of thing, maybe if redwoods aren't your thing, or if you're like, I don't feel like a redwood, if there's any dissonance, I guess, you're feeling, pray into that. And sometimes God can even speak to you and connect with you even through those dissonances. This is a community in which we're all very honest with each other and in which we actually find life and hope through being blunt and real and honest with each other and not just giving the same old church answer. And so our prayer ministry time is certainly one way to do that. As well as all the other things that we'll have in Advent, our prayer retreat, our early morning Bible study before church, all these different things. We're always full of opportunities to stay connected and to grow into maturity. Let's pray, and then let's continue in worship. God, I do thank you for this community. Lord, I thank you for the ways that we have been growing for these 20 years and for the ways we'll be growing in the next 20. Lord, I thank you for the things that we love about each other, and we even thank you for the things that kind of irritate each other about us, Lord. Thank you that you use all of those things to cause us to grow into maturity. Thank you, God, that you have a picture of us, which is tall and strong and beautiful, Lord. Help us, give us the faith to kind of live into that as we walk through the end of this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.